And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Woo! Hello and welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. We're doing a little post-game thing for the playoffs, and if you guys like it, make sure you go over to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us some feedback. Let us know you're enjoying these post-game shows. I'm Dave DeFore, here with Mo DeKeel. We've got Heat Celtics Game 2, and Mo, the question that is on my mind right now, is it happening again? Are we about to see Heat culture do it again? These guys are crazy.
Get ready to hear about it all day for the next few days, Dave. I mean, this is the Breaking Bad of, like, you know, they can't keep getting away with this sort of meme, right? Like, this is the whole thing, but, like, you got to give the Heat credit because I gave them no shot really coming into this game.
You said Celtics in three last night.
Yeah, I did.
I don't like to call you out on it, but
no, but that was fair.
The same way.
I felt like without Jimmy and whatnot, and even the way they looked in the game, I thought maybe the game would be closer, but I didn't think they would actually pull off a win. And a win in Boston, considering how good the Celtics have been at home all season, like that's one of those moments where even the Celtics have to be asking themselves of, like, they're not going to do this again, right? Like, hey,
And it started out the game started like just it crazy. The Heat just were bombing away from three. It never stopped for the entire game. You mentioned 43 three-point attempts. They hit 23 of them, so 53.5%. The Celtics go 12 of 32. From three, and a lot of people, Mo, are going to look at those numbers and they're going to say, oh, well, that was the game. Well, they're going to discount quite a few things for the Miami Heat. And the first thing that I want to talk about is Tyler Hero. He had 24 points in this game, hit a ton of threes, was 6 of 11 from three. But the big thing, and this is a trend that we saw start happening for them in the play-in game, they've been using him more as a playmaker, and he was great in that role. He had 14 assists. And Bam Adebayo was benefiting greatly from playing with Tyler Hero.
Bam was killing it from inside the paint in terms of the mid-range shot. Like, that's the smoothest I think it looked. That pick and roll with him and Hero, and he would just kind of pop right into the free throw line and stick that jumper a few times, was incredibly impressive. But it wasn't just Hero having 14 assists. 14 assists with three turnovers with the amount of usage that he had. Like, that's phenomenal. Like, you'll take that every night if you're a Miami fan. And I think those are the things you're looking at going, like, geez, man, like, he really killed it. I mean, Jovic was good to start the game. Hawkes, we got to talk Caleb Martin. Listen, if the Celtics are going to keep leaving him open for three, like they did last year, he's going to knock him down. He went 5 of 6 tonight. I mean, the 23 threes is a franchise record for the Heat in the playoffs. And, like, damn.
Yeah, we'll get to the Celtics defense on the Heat here in a minute, but I want to talk about Bam Adebayo. 21 points, 10 rebounds, had a couple assists. Obviously, we know what he brings on the defensive end, and we'll get to the Miami defense in a minute, but the 21 points is huge. He has got to, for them to have a chance in this series, he's got to be above 20 points a game, and maybe even, frankly, more than 21, like, would be nice from him. He's got to be more aggressive, and I thought he did a really good job of that. Again, Hero doing a great job of sort of setting the table and making it easier on him. And it helps when everyone is shooting threes like this. I mean, he had plenty of space to operate in, was able to get a lot of one-on-one opportunities, got the great touch. But how'd you like his forcefulness? Like, he looked like he was actually looking to get some buckets going for himself.
I mean, this is the thing we've been complaining about Bam for how long, man? Like, this is the thing. Like, I want him to, when he plays with force, when he plays aggressive, he's a different player. And I think that's one of those things that you saw tonight, was he really went at them he was, you know, strong defensively, and I can't wait to get to the Heat's defense. But I felt like he did a great job of not just looking for his shots, but really looking to attack. And I think really put pressure on the Boston Celtics defense, which is what he did a lot when he got it into his spots. Like, I was pretty impressed overall with his performance and just the Heat in general, just their attack. There's probably not enough to say about him.
Yeah, they mitigated Jason Tatum to start the third quarter. I mean, he took one shot in his first 6 minutes, you know, the little rotation where he gets subbed out at about the 5.5 minute mark of the third quarter. One shot for Jason Tatum. And that was really where Miami started to take away the game, I thought, from the Celtics. They got Tatum out of there. Jaylen Brown had a great game. I mean, you can't knock him. 33 points, 4 of 9 from three, and had to do a lot of stuff one-on-one, which is what happens with these Celtics from time to time. But what'd you think about Miami just completely erasing Tatum on offense to start the third?
I thought it was a strong effort in what they did. And then you saw him kind of come back towards the end of the third quarter, and I felt like
he was dunks.
Bring it back and really get his flow and rhythm again. But I think the bigger thing was they really just did a great job on Porzingis. He basically wasn't available. Like, he basically didn't show up tonight. Like, it was one of those, he had a bad game. We understand that's going to happen from time to time. But like, I felt like the difference for the Heat defensively was they went from over helping and over rotating in game one to like, hey, we're just going to switch everything. We don't even care if we get a small on Porzingis. I mean, there were possessions where Hero was on Porzingis off of a switch, and they just rolled with it and kept working with it. And I think that turned into that helped mitigate, I think, some of the Celtics' 3-point shots in terms of just saying, like, the deal with Boston is you got to limit their threes, and they still get a pretty good number of threes up. But if you can just limit their 3-point attempts, you'll have a good shot. And I think that was one of the things that I saw tonight.
Yeah, and with Porzingis, if you can bother him, especially on the catch, you know, when they were trying to get him a mismatch, trying to get him a post-up, Jovic had a great steal where he kind of just jumped out in front of Porzingis, right, and they really were physical with him. That's a pretty good note. But speaking of physical, Mo, I got to ask you, is Bam Adebayo, these illegal screens that he's getting away with, are they legal screens that I just think that they're too physical? Like, is that letting him play, or are these screens a bit extra? Are these playoff screens I'm seeing?
It's a case by case, screen by screen judgment, Dave, on each of these. You know, there are times too, though, where it's like the defender's really trying to run through him, so it looks a little more physical than it is. There are times it's illegal. There's no question about it. But I think actually deciding if a screen's legal or not can be one of the harder things. There are the obvious ones, right? The stick the butt out kind of screens or whatever, or full on move a step or two, you know, when the defender kind of dictates his path. And I think there's those things, but there's some of the subtle ones there. I think it's a little bit difficult. I'm not going to harp on it. I'm not going to worry
about
it. Bam's an artist.
I'm not knocking him. Bam's an artist at it. All right. Looking ahead to game three, they're going to Miami. If you're Boston, how much of this game do you chalk up to the shooting? Hey, look, we gave up a lot of shots. Our defense was lackadaisical. I think you could safely say their defense was a little lackadaisical. We just got to tighten up, and we're right back on top. What's the percentage there that you can just write it off?
No, I think it's an element of just you got to be careful, because some of these were wide open threes, and these are guys that can knock down shots. Like I said, they're letting Martin shoot threes for the second year in a row, and that's something that they're just going to give up. They're letting Highsmith shoot threes and whatnot, and I think those are the things there. I think it's they can tighten some things up defensively, but the most important thing is don't panic right now. You know, look, you got a terrible game from Porzingis going 1 for 9. You have really red hot shooting from them. Like, I would be curious to see if Miami can shoot 50% again from three against this team, you know, next game. Like, if they do, guess what? Odds are you're losing. And that's not something to be, I mean, that's just the way it goes, right? If a team shoots that many threes and makes 50% of them, you're in a real difficult position if you're not matching that. And I think that's going to be the important thing. I think more just get back to your basics and your core. And then offensively, don't get so hung up on these things. And I think there was a lot of fishing for fouls and complaining as well. I think there was a lot of that stuff that they just need to kind of let it go and focus on the game.
By the way, you know, the Heat have shot over 50% in the playoffs from three against the Celtics a lot. So just, I'm not willing to write it off that that they can't do it again. You want to make a pick for game three?
Celtics. I think the Celtics will bounce back. I'm not going to be deterred here in this. Listen, this was a great win for Miami. I don't want to take anything away from them in that. And it's fun in that this will plant like a small little seed of doubt, you know, in the back of the mind of some of the Celtics and some of the players and fans. And we're going to have, it's going to be great, Dave. Us in the content business for the next 2 days are going to start harping on the Celtics and whatnot. And that's all they're going to have to hear about it. I think they come back pretty big in game three.
Yeah. It's a little bit like the Nuggets getting that scare and coming back and winning against the Lakers, right? Like the Celtics, this ultimately, I don't think this is more than a blip on their path through the playoffs. Like I do still expect them to make the finals. But the difference here is the Nuggets took that scare and came back and won, and the Celtics didn't. And I would like to see them dig themselves out of some hardship here in the playoffs coming up. That's going to do it for this game. We're going to go live to Oklahoma City next. Got Andrew Schlecht post-game after New Orleans and Oklahoma City.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now coming to us live from Oklahoma City, where the Thunder just took down the Pelicans in game two, 124-92. Andrew Schlecht, wow, this was a little bit of a dud, but this was more what I was expecting in game one from the Thunder. They just came out in this one and they owned the Pelicans from start to finish.
Yeah, it was a really interesting start to this game because Jonas Valanciunas scored the first 11 points for the Pelicans. And the Thunder really didn't flinch. They continued to space the floor. Chet hit his first three threes. And I think the score was 11-12 in favor of the Thunder, timeout Pelicans. And it was like, oh, this is really interesting. It's like, who's going to win this chess match between Mark Degnaut and Willie Green? It's like they're going to force action at the hoop with Valanciunas, or it's like the Thunder are going to spread everything out. And the Thunder continued to spread the court. They hit a crazy amount. They hit 14 threes tonight. They got up 29 of them. And they just obliterated the Pelicans with just like this pace and space. They were able to get to the hoop off of drives. They kind of got everybody going in this one. And it was over pretty early.
Yeah, I mean, and they just continue to just find guys like on the court who they just do things. Aaron Wiggins.
Yeah.
Put someone on their butt in this game. I want to go back to Chet and JV because that matchup was fascinating in the first game. I thought Valanciunas maybe a little bit more physical. He got the physical win in game one. But in game two, I think not only did Chet outplay Valanciunas, I think he won the physical battle because he wasn't getting bullied by JV in the post.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think if you probably give the Thunder coaching staff truth serum as you see Valanciunas backing Chet down. And it's like from like 5 or 6 feet outside of the hoop. And he's trying to get all the way to the hoop. And he is just like, bam, bam, over and over again against Chet. Chet's like holding up pretty well. he's still, because Chet is just not strong enough yet, like he's still going to get to the rim. But there was one where he blocks Valanciunas at the rim. And it was just like, oh, like this is not only is like Chet doing like his best to kind of like withstand the physicality, but he's like going to out talent you at the rim too. And that was like one of the moments where it was like, okay, like this matchup is over. Like the 11 points, that was cool. He only scored 8 more the rest of the way. And I think it was like 3 minutes in that he had 11. And then he only had 8 the rest of the way. I think the Thunder were pretty glad to see the battle play out that way. Chet looked great off the dribble. He was making his threes. I really think like a huge bellwether for the Thunder in this series and in any series moving forward is Chet aggressively taking threes and is he making them? Because I think that absolutely just takes like the lid off for the Thunder and their offense. And it gives them just so much space. And I was asking Jalen Williams after the game, like what specifically he thought helped them, you know, create more space today. And it was really just making shots. And it really all started with Chet Holmgren in that first quarter.
I mean, look, when you shoot 60% from the field and almost 50% from three, you're not going to lose very many of those games.
No, especially when the other team's shooting 45-26, you know?
Yeah.
And that... It was a problem. And the Pelicans are just going to have trouble generating offense because Brandon Ingram took 10 shots tonight. A lot of that's because of the effort from Lu Dort. And then it's like, how do you create offense? Valanciunas took 14 shots, but you know you can't go back to that well over and over again. CJ McCollum is a well-known secondary guy and has
been. Not a table setter at all.
No, and he's very good at what he does, but they are clearly just missing a Zion-like player that can just eat possessions, that can go out and take 20 shots, that can get to the hoop. They don't really have anybody that can break a defense down. You saw the Thunder over and over again. A lot of these guys have higher dribbles and kind of looser dribbles than like a traditional point guard. And you just saw the Thunder exploiting that. And they would dig in and like, you could see them like making multiple efforts to try to get the ball from McCollum or to try to get the ball from Ingram just because they know they can poke that ball away. And the Thunder got out in transition. They scored with ease. This was, it really showed like this series is probably not going to last very long just because the Pelicans don't have the answers. Right. And now Larry Nance is hurt. We don't know what his status is. I think it was an ankle. And if he's
out.
Yeah,
it looked like he turned an ankle, yeah.
If he's out at all, like if he misses any time, like he's like part of the answer for them.
Well, that's their counter. My next question was going to be, what's their counter going down? They're down 2-0. Their counter has to be going ahead and trying that smaller lineup with Nance. And in my opinion, I think they need more Alvarado. I mean, that Alvarado and Nance has been huge for them in this run to the play-in. The Valanciunas thing, like that's a hurdle that Oklahoma City, they cleared it in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And they just cleared it for the series. I don't think that's an issue. That's a matchup they know they can win. But the Nance one was going to be interesting until this ankle thing.
Yeah. Yeah. If they don't have Nance, they really don't have another look. They can go extra small where like Najee Marshall can probably play up a little bit. They played Jeremiah Robinson Earl in crunch time or in like garbage time tonight. I don't know that he's really the answer for them. I wonder if just to get more shooting out there, if you would try Jordan Hawkins. He hadn't really been in the rotation at all, so I kind of have my doubts about that. Dyson Daniels offensively is not ready to contribute at that level. I just don't think like there's an answer here. And like the real answer is, can the Pelicans get to a game 5 or 6, have Zion reevaluated and possibly ready to go? But we also know that Zion has never been a fast healer. He's not somebody that's come back on like, when you give a timeline, he never really comes back on that exact timeline. So I just think that they're in a rough spot. And then you look at the Thunder, they figured some stuff out. Mark Degnault figured some things out, you know, in between games. And after the game, they were unsatisfied, would be the way that I would put it. Yeah. They were unsatisfied. They did not think that they were perfect. And so they're going to come back with even like more tweaks for game 3.
But they did have 8 turnovers. So, you know, that's something that they can tighten up on. True. Gut reaction, does it get to a fifth game?
I think role players play better at home. I think this Thunder team, this is still their first time in the playoffs. They've never been put in a position to close a series out before. My guess is that the Pelicans will get 3 or 4, and then they'll come back and close it out in Oklahoma City in 5.
All right, you heard him. Close it out in 5. One more playoff game in the first round for Andrew to attend. For Andrew Schlecht and Mo DeKeel, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been our post-game show on the Athletic NBA Show. Stay tuned for Tampering coming out this afternoon.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.